Welcome back to TechNet Radio. It's IT time, and in today's episode, Blaine Barton interviews Edwin Nguyen, Director of Cloud and Virtualization Strategy here at Microsoft. Listen in as they uncover some of the truth surrounding these hot-button issues in the IT world, from how Hyper-V can work with Exchange, SharePoint, and SQL Server, to tackling the big bad cloud beast and addressing many of the fears IT pros have around it. Blaine, the mic is yours.
Hello and welcome to IT Time Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton, a senior IT pro evangelist for Microsoft. And today I have a very special guest. I've been looking forward to this interview. Edwin Nguyen, a director of virtualization and cloud strategy in the server and cloud platform team here at Microsoft. How you doing, Edwin?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So just a little bit about Edwin. He came to Microsoft in July of 06 through that acquisition of Softricity. So prior to joining Microsoft, he was one of the services engagement managers at Softricity for around 6 years, leading most of the initial Softricity implementations. Also, 14 years technical consulting experience. That's pretty impressive in both the commercial and the federal space. And you hold a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from Johns Hopkins University. So I want to welcome you to the show.
Great. Thank you.
So first, I always like to get to know my guest, and that is you, of course, today, about how'd you get started in IT?
You know, it's kind of interesting. I have a degree in electrical and computer engineering, but, you know, I used to be a big computer guy. I mean, a little tinker. I mean, I wasn't building my own joysticks or anything like that, but, you know, I got an early hand-me-down Apple II Plus, did the upgrades on that, made it a 2E. I got an XT clone, or for those who really remember, I had a Leading Edge, which was one of those high-end clones and, you know, popping hard drives. I ironically actually had a copy of Windows 1, which was interesting operating system, especially when you had two floppies and no hard drive. Didn't work very well. But, you know, it worked out, you know, in that area. And then, the more I did it, you know, I went into electrical and computer engineering, and I actually have a degree, you know, designing microchips. But, you know, I had an understanding of, you know, where computers are going and where LANs are going. You know, the funny story I always tell was last couple of years I was in college, everybody was signing up to go do the Novell certifications. They all became Novell administrators, and the only job left over for me, because I was newer to the department, was TCP/IP. So I handled all the TCP/IP internet, and I was doing Winsock stacks and, you know, doing DOS-based and Windows-based, and obviously that's worked out really well for me. But then, you know, I progressed in. I used to do a lot of consulting for the U.S. government, you know, the military and the Navy and stuff, traveled all over the country, you know, really putting systems in.
That's fantastic. Yeah, great background there. I kind of remember those days too, you know, 64K of memory and a 5 megabit hard drive. That's all we're ever going to need, right?
I had my 10 megabit full height drive I dropped in there because I couldn't get rid of two floppies. I was actually the cool person. I had the stiffy 3.5-inch drive. Well, most of my friends had 5.25, but hopefully that
was nice. Nice. And then came the CD-ROM, which blew everybody away. So great, yeah, that's good to know what your background is and how you got started in IT. So let's move to the future now. Let's talk about what your role is at Microsoft and what's going on there.
So I'm the Director of Cloud and Virtualization Strategy. So really what one of my jobs is to understand how all the different products work at Microsoft. You know, because, you know, we've got a lot of products. There's hypervisors and desktop virtualization, application virtualization, session, and all these things. And how do they all work together, and how do we use them together, you know, to really solve problems? And that's what it's all about.
Great. So what's your perspective on, really from an IT pro perspective out there, pertaining to cloud?
You know, I think I jokingly always say cloud is one of those interesting, and cloud is what we thought the internet was about 10 years ago, which was everyone talks about it. There's a billion magazines on it. Our boss says we have to get in the cloud, but we don't know what we're going to do in the cloud. It's kind of like the internet. 10, 15 years ago, we got to get on the internet. You have the internet-enabled version. Nowadays, it's not about the internet. It's about what we do on the internet, buying movie tickets and buying airline tickets. Nobody thought about that 10 years ago. Cloud's in that same point where, you know, everyone's excited about cloud. We want to get into cloud, but we don't exactly know what we're going to do in the cloud. And honestly, for an IT pro, that's problematic because this time, you know, the internet a little bit, but more of this cloud, it gives a level of uncertainty. You know, because some people think cloud is just outsourcing. Some people think cloud is something way out there they don't have to worry about. Other people are like, well, how do I bring the cloud in? And I think a lot of people are getting caught up on what cloud is or what they think cloud is from a technical or an infrastructure point of view or a goal point of view, and not really what we're doing with the cloud. Because if we think about what we're going to do with the cloud, that's going to tell us how we as IT pros are going to work within that aspect. If we just talk about infrastructure or services or the benefits, really, which are always, you know, the benefits we hear always in IT, which is I'm going to cut costs, cut labor, whatever it is, then you just you sit there and say, well, what am I doing? So to some extent, we've got to progress the conversation a little across the board. But we really got to sit there and say, what are we going to do in the cloud? Okay, great. Totally excited about cloud. What are we going to do about the cloud? You know, it's more than just, I heard the cloud saves me money, I'm going to implement cloud. Because honestly, in 5 years, you know, there's going to be something called Jibber Jabber, and someone's going to say Jibber Jabber saves you money and saves time. And amazingly, everyone's going to get excited about Jibber Jabber. So the absolute number one thing is to understand what, not just what is the cloud, because that can vary, but what are we going to do in the cloud? What are we trying to do with the cloud? You know?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I remember the days back in, you know, NT4, I'd be installing server on a hard drive, you know, and it'd be like, you know, the yellow bar going across a blue screen. I'm thinking $1, $2, your coffee, cigarette, girlfriend, whatever, right? I got paid for installing server, and now I can lay an image down in, you know, 2 minutes. So, I mean, technology is constantly changing, constantly evolving. You know, we went through, you know, with the internet, with the dot-coms, and you know, it was all about, like, getting my business around the internet, but they really didn't understand the power of the internet, what it could do. So the underlying pipes and infrastructure was really what they should have been looking at, not to, you know, be the first to get a website up. So you're right.
It's the evolution. If you look and think about that internet portion of it too, I mean, if we think about it, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, everyone's like, well, you know, why would the HR department need internet? Really? It's not for playing games. It's not buying tickets. It's not work-related. And now everything's work-related. Heck, think 2 years ago, why would anyone need Flash? I mean, people were actually seriously discussing disabling Flash or disabling, let's say, YouTube access because they felt it was a time waster. Now it's gotten to the point where people are putting videos up on the YouTube and they're using it to, you know, not just recreational purposes, but maybe for training purposes or other reasons. And Flash has become, you know, an example of just something to use. So, you know, just 2 years ago, we're just sitting there saying, oh, you know, that's for college students, that's for playing games. And that's changed. So it's one of these things where it's not a question of do you adopt the technology or not. You obviously have to look at it. It's really how you use the technology. And if you can use it right, then you want to embrace it as long as you get that control.
Yeah, absolutely. And also it comes around sharing information, you know, with LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter and Tekarati and, you know, all these different types of media avenues to get the word out about your business, about, you know, technologies. So it's quite amazing how the internet really runs our lives. You know, I mean, I took a plane ride the other day and we landed and, you know, I'm looking around the plane and everybody, when the bell rang on Southwest, they all just opened up their phones. Every single person was on their phone, either texting their loved ones, you know, that they've arrived or they're looking at the latest and greatest emails or whatever it is, but they're always connected. And I think, you know, that whole internet piece brings, you know, not only people together, but brings technology and the evolution of what we're going to do in the future, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we say the same thing about virtualization and to some extent the cloud. I mean, we're really excited about the cloud. Everyone's really excited about virtualization. They always look at Microsoft and say, well, you guys are talking about apps and management because you guys aren't the leaders of virtualization. That's really not the case. We see virtualization kind of like TCP/IP was 10 or 15 years ago, and kind of like the story I was telling. You know, what were we doing 10 or 15 years ago? We're buying software. I know I went to NetManage and spent $700 on a TCP/IP stack and a crappy web browser and maybe Telnet software. We're going to our ISVs and our partners saying, do you have the internet-enabled version of your software? And now we don't even think twice of it. And what happened was the TCP/IP and the internet became one of those fundamental foundations that really changed IT, that every innovation in the last 5 or 10 years has really leveraged upon. And we see virtualization and pretty much the cloud going to be the same thing. Virtualization, if the big thing is not virtualization. That, I mean, it's amazing. We love it. And it's going to be critical. But virtualization is really forming this foundational layer that we could leverage on top of that a lot of other innovations, cloud being one of them, that's really going to take advantage of. So that's why Microsoft's really like, hey, Vert's great. We're doing really well in Vert. But we got to think a little bit beyond Vert or really how are we going to use Vert? You know, now that we can move virtual machines anytime we want, how do we make that work for us beyond just, okay, now I can turn that machine off and do maintenance on it?
Awesome. Awesome. You know, one of the things that I use almost every day is Hyper-V, and I love the product, and I know you're working on some really cool stuff. Maybe you want to share with the audience today about what you're working on.
Well, it's kind of interesting because we just had another release of Hyper-V, the Service Pack 1 for 2008 R2. So we have Windows Server 2008 R2 SP1 and the standalone Hyper-V Server 2008 R2 SP1. Don't want to forget about that because that's a free version of the hypervisor you don't need to buy Windows for. But, I mean, people forget that, you know, this is the third version of Hyper-V in 4 years. This isn't the old Microsoft. You know, like I've only been at Microsoft about 5 years. This isn't Microsoft old where we're getting one every 5 or 7 years that is very monolithic and, you know, we're not listening to customers. This is our third release in 4 years, and we've essentially gotten pretty much every major feature that we feel the customers really look for, you know, live migration, dynamic memory, you know, the scaling that we're looking for. And then recently we've done some work with, you know, some third-party groups, and they've done some analysis in terms of, you know, the performance. How well does Hyper-V perform against a physical box? How well does it do it in a VDI environment? You know, what can dynamic memory give you? And then if you're running SQL, Exchange, and SharePoint, you know, can you get the scalability you're looking for? Can you get the performance that you're looking for? Are you willing to trade a little bit of the top-end scalability for a lot of the flexibility that comes with virtualization? Or even can you break through some other limitations that normally, you know, would stop you? I know SharePoint was a good example in terms of, you know, web servers and things like that. So we've done some really great testing of late that's really produced some interesting performance numbers and really gives some validation to sit there and say, hey, you know, we've reached a point where, you know, we can virtualize pretty much anything. And then it just becomes a decision of how does it best benefit the business. It's not, let's just virtualize everything and forget about it. But it's also not the, oh, I don't know about it, I don't know if the performance is there. I we've reached a point where we have the option to do what we need to do. And, you know, that's all we can really ask for as IT pros.
That's awesome. You know, when we look at virtualization with the Hyper-V and the virtual machines and running, you know, SharePoint and Exchange, and, you know, there's sometimes some myths out there that about people about what really Hyper-V is capable of doing. Do you want to, you know, kind of debunk some of those myths? What would they be?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people always, I mean, myth number one, I had a discussion with, you know, some people, some analysts about this and some other people. Hyper-V is what they call a bare metal hypervisor, super high performing. I think people get that confused because you're still running Windows to do the management control. But what we do is we actually install a very small bare metal hypervisor, that virtualization software. And that version of Windows that's running is actually running in a VM. Now, most people don't even know it. It's actually in a VM, and then it helps control the other VMs. But, I mean, there's always been this myth that Hyper-V is somehow hobbled by Windows or that it's really, really slow. You know, the testing out there is showing that Hyper-V, very, very high performance. You know, disk at 98, 99% of physical. In fact, not just a physical local disk, but there was a test from Intel and Microsoft that did some work on iSCSI. So they used software iSCSI. High SCSI across the board, 10 gigabit Ethernet, they were able to push 700,000 IOPS. It was just massive IO scalability. In terms of workload performance, low single digits, high single digits, low double digits. So you're talking 5 to 12% overhead, but it produced some really high numbers. On a single box, the performance test that we showed, we could get with between 3 to 5 VMs, depending on the workload, we were getting 20,000 Exchange mailboxes on a single machine. We were getting 80,000 simultaneous OLTP users against a SQL server. Against SharePoint, over 460,000 simultaneous users. And this is testing we did literally out of the box. The firm came in, they installed Hyper-V, no tweaks. Installed the application, no tweaks. Boom, right away, go ahead and use it. With tweaks, we probably could have got even higher. And the hardware wasn't this, you know, sometimes the benchmarking, you see the hardware, it's like massive numbers, and it's a machine that, you know, it's like the Whopper from War Games. You'll never see it. You know, it's this. We were talking just a standard full-height blade that HP sells. You slide right in, 128 gigs of RAM. I think it was, I think they were dual hex cores or dual six-core machines. Really reasonable machines you can buy. So then we're talking real-world performance. So a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I don't know if Hyper-V can do it. It really can do it. I mean, you just have to go ahead and give it a try. You know, it's a very mature product, you know, in its third release.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm running on 16 gigs of RAM on a dual-core Centrino processor on my Lenovo, like, you know, for the demo purposes and doing the TechNet events and all that. And it runs great, you know, especially if I got four or five servers running at one time. So, you know, people need to go out and really benchmark and test this out for themselves. I agree. You know, one of the things that you're working on now, it looks like, is a whole series of webcasts coming up. It looks pretty interesting. You want to talk a little bit about what's coming up?
Well, we're working on a series of webcasts that actually are around the workload work, basically Exchange, SharePoint, and SQL. And not just the results that we found, but a lot of the recommendations that we have. I know the SQL team has got some excellent recommendations, not only, you know, the how to use it within virtualization, but thinking about what to do within, let's say, a private cloud. How do you set it up so that you can get some self-service out to the users? How can you consolidate SQL databases? And not just database consolidation on a single physical machine. Now, how do you consolidate it using virtualization? When would you use it? When wouldn't you use it? You know, how can you do it? The Exchange team has produced some really interesting recommendations on when to use Exchange and what's the best configuration. You know, questions like, you know, do I need one-to-one mapping or one-to-two mapping for processors? What should I do in terms of memory? There are multiple Exchange roles. Should these Exchange roles be used here? Should be used there? What are some good examples? How do I scale on? And the same thing for SharePoint, because they have multiple roles. I think a lot of things, sometimes, you know, we talk about programs as singular workloads, but usually as a front end and a back end. You know, what are the benefits of doing consolidation on both sides? So really what we're going to do is we're going to focus on how to get those important workloads running. Because, you know, as we virtualize more and more, you know, a lot of the low-hanging fruit, file servers or what I know a lot of customers call gadget servers, the server that you had to stand up because the program needed a dedicated server and now it's just sitting in the corner. A lot of those have gotten virtualized. So now we're going to move on to these tier one, tier two type workloads, these more critical, larger, higher end workloads. You know, Hyper-V is ready for that. We're going to talk about how you want to take advantage of that.
Well, you can count me as one of your listeners and viewers of those. I look forward to seeing those. So, you know, kind of wrapping things up here, what would be the biggest thing you'd want to leave this interview with as far as what you want to tell IT pros around the cloud and virtualization?
Yeah, the thing I want to talk about is two things. One, get smart. And not that anyone's dumb or anything. Learn all you can. Get past the article that talks about how great the cloud is or what the cloud is going to do. There's good articles out there that actually say, hey, you know, the cloud does this, you know, in terms of a private cloud, it's talking about marshaling your resources, about pooling the underlying infrastructure. It's about automation, but not really replacements, talking about self-service, but not about loss of control. There's all these balances out there. The more you understand about cloud, the more you'll be in a better position to talk about it. So when your boss sits there and say, hey, I'm interested, what do we think about the cloud? You're not just going to sit there and say, well, we want to get started on it or we're going to look into it. You can sit there and say, look, you know, we need to think about it. Are we going to do private cloud, a hybrid cloud? How much of the public cloud? You know, we're better off because we do a lot of .NET development, so public cloud might be a good thing. And, you know, we have a new role for my group to manage it a little bit better. Or you sit there and say, you know, we've got some great resources. If we implement cloud technologies, we're going to get better use out of it. Maybe we can burst with a hoster or something like that. So just understanding what it is, going beyond just the headlines. The other one is give it a try. And it's give it a try across the board. Hyper-V, give it a try. If you have Windows 2008, any version, all you have to do is go to roles, and just like you would add an AD role or an FTP server role, there is a Hyper-V role. You click Hyper-V. You check off which network adapters you want to expose to VMs. The system reboots twice and you're up and running. You can play with it. In terms of private cloud and management, look at the different things like the system center tools that we have that really drive private cloud. For example, Virtual Machine Manager 2012, which is going to be this great private cloud tool coming out. It's in beta now. Anyone can go and download. Pull it down. Just take a look. There's some really neat things there. And if you're really interested in what, let's say, Azure is, you could go off and sign up for an Azure role or take a look and just sign up for an account or maybe an Office 365 account. Because the more you know about it, then you can go back and if somebody in your organization is like, oh, we should just move everybody into the cloud, and it isn't right for you, you can sit there and say, hey, I've tried it out. This is what it is. This is what it can do. This is what it can't do. Maybe it's good here. Maybe it's not. Rather than, you know, reading it from an article or something. The more that we really empower ourselves, the better position we make ourselves in terms of IT pro. It can only help, you know.
Yep, for sure. In fact, I've been doing a lot of Office 65 demos for a lot of IT pros out there, and I know we just got done, a couple of my peers for TechNet, we just did some events around cloud and public and private cloud, and we're going to continue to do that for at least for this full year as far as a focus area. So we're really getting our arms around it and understand it. And I think, you know, Young Cho and some of these guys on our team really understand it. We're all, you know, embracing it and learning it as quickly as possible. And the way you do that is, like you said, get in there, roll up the sleeves, and kind of dig in. That's how you're going to learn. So, wow, it's been great having you on the IT Time Radio show here. And I'd love to have you back if you want to come back.
Well, absolutely. I'd be glad to come back anytime.
So what URL or where would they go to get more information about cloud? I know it's Microsoft.com cloud. Is that the best place?
Yeah, Microsoft.com/cloud is really the place to go. It's a big GAD campaign. There's lots of graphics, but there actually is really good information on there. And like I said, a little bit different than everything else, it's not just go cloud, cloud, cloud. It's like, how can cloud work for you, and what are the different impacts? And it really, it is generated. If you really think about it, it is generated to that IT pro, because we're all looking for that information to sit there and say, hey, what is my role? How can I be the person that really helps everybody enable the cloud? You know, and that's, it's a great position to be in. If you've got that knowledge and you've got that position, what we'll see is that the differential between your current job and the cloud job isn't that much. It's really about adopting a couple new skills and really reusing most of what we learn. It's not about, you know, just outsourcing or jobs disappearing. It's about what's the next stage and what's the next evolution for IT as a whole, and how can I be a part of it?
Yeah, I would agree. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was Edwin Ewan, the Director of Virtualization and Cloud Strategy and the Server and Cloud Platform team here at Microsoft. Great to have you on the show. Once again, come on back.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to IT Time Radio. I'm your host, Blaine Barton. With that, it's a wrap. Thanks.